It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Oh, you know what? Hang on one sec. My breakfast is just showing up. Hold on one sec.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullihust, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here. Checking out the episode. I do hope you do hit the subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire series. You do that, I'll give you three brand new interviews every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's three a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones at all the usual spots like Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests, in fact, have included, let's see here, Liz Phair, Sarah Silverman, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, Felicia Day, Susan Tedeschi of the Tedeschi Trucks Band, Josh Radner from How I Met Your Mother and Fleischman Is in Trouble, Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses, just a few of the guests that you can catch when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, once again, Chris Shiflett of the Foo Fighters. We talked earlier this year. He had released a new single, and we talked about a record that would eventually come. That record is now here. It's called Lost at Sea. We're going to dig into it. He'll discuss his history with Americana and country rock music, how he finds some of the most interesting guitar playing coming from country music, and how bands like Social Distortion and X were sort of the bridge between punk and Americana along the way. Chris is also going to go on to tell us how his days in No Use for a Name had an influence on one of the new songs and how his sobriety played a part in another, as well as the guests he has lined up for his new podcast, Shredding with Shifty, that includes Pearl Jam's Mike McCready, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers' Mike Campbell. So let's talk about Lost in Sea and a whole lot more. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Shiflett.
Hey, how are you?
This might be the quickest return guest. Like I have my usuals, my yearly guests, but I don't know that I've had anyone on because we talked early in the year. You had a new single out, but now the album Lost at Sea is finally here. And I can say finally, because this is a multi-years journey for you.
It really is. Yeah. I feel like I put this record out 2 years ago, like internally, but you know, I'm happy that it's finally, that the full length's finally coming out. Cause like you said, we've been putting songs out all year and doing some shows around all that. But it'll be great to have the full length out. It's a labor of love. But it really, like, it takes so long to figure out how you're going to put out your record and then get it all together and get the artwork together and do all that stuff. And, you know, as a musician, you want to put it out like the day you get the final mix, but it just never works out that way. So, you know, I've been living with these songs for a minute and I'm just glad to let them loose, let them fly.
Well, you know, the compliments, the more and more I listen to it, I think surely there's lots of thought that's went into the sequencing of this as well, because at times it almost feels like a story. It almost feels linear. If that makes sense, even starting with Dead and Gone and ending with Parties, which are two very different things, but for some reason, even comically, they almost feel like they, you know, are the perfect bookends to everything that happens in the middle.
All right. Yeah. That's great to hear. It is funny, 'cause you do put a lot of thought into the sequencing. I always think of sequencing as like if the album were a gig, you know, you want it to sort of like have ebbs and flows and jump up at some points and kind of mellow out at some, you know, and that whole thing. So, but it's great. That's nobody has said that to me yet. So I appreciate that. Cause you know, you write like all these songs were written in that time, like right before I started making the record or during making the record, except for Damage Control's the only old one that was on there. So like unintentionally there is some through line through it all, you know, cause it's just the things that you're thinking about in that little time period, you know, the things that are on your mind. And so it all kind of, it does sort of form a like a little snapshot of 2020, 2021.
Well, especially when any artist, I think, you know, writes, as you said, sort of all the songs come almost around the same time. Inevitably, not only do you get the through line, but you'll get some of those words, you know, the same words will pop up multiple. And there are multiple ones, but the two I centered on were birthdays and damage.
I know. What's the deal with birthdays? Why does that keep popping? Because that's not even just this album. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, how many songs have I written about my birthday, my wife's birthday, somebody's birthday? You know what I mean? It seems to pop up. The one that my wife calls me out on all the time is, she's like, how many songs are you going to write that you reference PCH? Like, just stop. You can't ever reference PCH again. And enough with the swear words. So that's my goal for my next record is there's going to be no beach references. How about that? I get it. I live by the beach. I love the beach, but enough of that. And it's going to be entirely clean.
You know, I had Ronnie Dunn from Brooks and Dunn on last year, and his record that he put out last year had Whiskey and Neon in every single song, I believe, on the record. Yes. So you didn't do that.
Yeah. Well, at least he's consistent. Yeah.
So much of I know when people talk to you about your solo music, especially if they're new to it, knowing your history either from pre-Foo Days or the Foo Fighters, it's always like, where the hell did this come from? And it's funny hearing those in the interviews because I watch some of your interviews and it seems to pop up. But it's, I know the long history is there. I did want to back up sort of pre this album and everything. When did you start digging into the type of music that you sort of have found yourself doing in your solo work?
Well, I've been listening to it for a long time, but I never tried to play anything that sort of had that influence, you know, that sort of like country and Americana influence until the first Dead Peasants record that I made. But even that was a long time ago. It is a funny thing, you know, I've talked about this before, but I have a lot of friends in country music and Americana and in that sort of side of music. And nobody from that side of the aisle ever says like, what, you like rock music? You know what I mean? And yet everybody from the rock side of the music is like, what, you like country? You know, like I honestly don't get why that's such a shock. I just don't, like, you know what I mean? To people, like, they're not that far apart musically, especially nowadays. Jesus, like country and rock music are like my personal theory is that like all genres are slowly melting into the same sound, which I think holds up. If you listen to just about anything, it's all kind of the same production styles are kind of run through, whether it's pop music or R&B or rock and roll or country or anything. There's a lot of overlap nowadays, in a way that was not the case like when I was growing up, when everything seemed very separate, you know. And that's cool. Like, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's cool. But I think there's a lot of overlap in with people's musical tastes, like the people that like country music and people that like alt rock and stuff. I do think there's a lot there. So I don't know. It's. I'm a guitar player. I love guitar playing, and all the good guitar playing, I hate to say it, but the most interesting guitar playing has been in country music for a long time. It ain't in rock music. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff going on in rock music too, but for the type of guitar playing that I like, way more interesting. My taste. I'm not saying like this is some grand judgment, but my taste leans more to country pickers. And I think a lot of that probably has to do with the fact that like, that's not what I grew up in. It's not really what's in my hands. I like playing, you know, stuff that's kind of country influenced, but it's not like, it doesn't sound like that when I do it. It sounds like, an old rock hack trying to play some, you know, Don Rich licks or whatever, you know, and that's what I like, you know.
And we'll be right back right after this. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I live in Kentucky, in the Midwest, and allergies, yeah, I suffer. When I say I suffer from allergies, I suffer from allergies. And around here, everyone I know deals with allergies to some degree. And for a long time, I thought it was just something that I would have to live with, which is a real problem for anything, but especially when you're a radio host. It affects my voice, it affects my mood, it affects everything. And I feel like I've tried all the medicines. Some of them work better than others, but there's never a perfect one out there, especially because some of them take forever to actually work and some of them don't work at all. And then there's Astapro, the fastest solution to nasal allergy symptoms. It's what I use now, and it's definitely changed my life. Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. With all the pollen in the air, with all the dust around the corners of the house, even with the allergies I have from my dog, Astapro has been the nasal spray that has helped me with all of my allergies. And it can help you too. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. That's Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Shiflett.
I mean, I grew up in rural Kentucky. So I grew up, you know, before I moved to the big city of Louisville, you know, it was you had top 40 radio and country radio. And so I, you know, 80s and 90s country, like that's, I know it all, and that's, it's all there. But even, you know, when I'm not saying anything new here, when I first heard Social Distortion, that's what I recognized in Social D, you know, and what they were doing, because that was there. It's not, to your point, it's not so surprising because those mixtures have always been there.
Yeah.
It is funny to see people's revelations when they hear this and to, you know, the oh my god sort of thing. Like it's got an interesting point, you know, especially being in your seat.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing. Like I think like country music is sort of like one of the last things people can kind of openly make fun of. It's I don't know why. It's like to people who don't listen to country, they just think that all country music is the one version of the corniest hee-haw version of it that you can point your finger at, as opposed to what it really is, which is this massive, you know, it's a huge umbrella. It's a big tent. You know, there's a lot of different sounds and there's a lot of different styles in it. And there's the poppier side and there's the rootsier side and there's everything in between. And yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. It's just a funny thing with people have a sort of a bias in a weird way. You know what I mean? It's funny.
Well, I'm glad you're bridging that gap.
I'm glad you mentioned Social Distortion, because really, like, you know, I came out of like rock music and heavy metal and then punk rock eventually. And Social D, like, I was like obsessed. Like when Prison Bound came out, like that record totally changed my life. And it's not like it was a country record by any stretch of the imagination, but there were songs on it that like a song like Prison Bound, you know, that had a more of a, like a, almost like a, you know, country style narrative. And then Social D would always throw in like cover songs of, you know, a big loud version of an old honky tonk song or something. And between them and bands like X that dabbled in some of that as well, like that really, as much as like, you know, my old Stones records that would have, you know, Dead Flowers or whatever on it, that would sort of lean a little bit that way. I mean, that was sort of like, that mixed with 90s alt country was sort of that was my way in, you know.
And you know, and yeah, because what John Doe after X, Like he's become a great Americana singer. And I think, you know, and there's, I know there's more examples of that. Like that seemed like a natural path for a lot of folks that started in punk to go that way, you know, for whatever reason.
Sure.
Yeah.
I know the reason, because you get older and you just, you know, your tastes slow down a little and mellow out a little, and you lean a little more on the lyrics and, you know, all that. It makes sense.
I mean, and to that point, it's surprising the people who haven't. And again, this is not a judgment, you know, for the people who have felt like they've had to stay in the lane, like they're held to a sound. I'm thinking like Billy Idol or something like that, you know. If he puts out music, it's still got to be Billy Idol. It's still got to be a little bit of that big arena punk from the 80s or something like that. You know, it's like.
We just actually played with Billy Idol. Where was that? At a festival up in Aspen. It was so good. He came out and he did a Pistols song with us. It was great.
And that's what I'm saying. No judgment. I love Billy and love seeing what he's done and his new records. But it's the choices you make as an artist. But some of those find the way out, and some artists are like, this is the box that I'm in.
Well, so, you know, I mean, I think it sort of depends on the artist. If it's like AC/DC or the Ramones, like clearly that's like those bands had a sound, or in the case of AC/DC, have a sound. And I, you know, I don't know how much it's that they didn't want to deviate from it, or if it's just that that's what came out of them naturally, which is what I suspect it more sort of is, you know. It is a funny thing with music. It's like people want, you get criticized if you do the same thing, a similar thing for a long time, but then you get criticized if you don't too. So it's you know, pick your poison. You know, if at the end of the day, if you're lucky enough to have a long career, like, you're just going to catch some shit one way or another.
But hearing songs on here like, God, I love Carrie Midnight Texas Queen. I don't know how you can't not like that song.
Oh, you know, thank you. I was thinking about that song today because I'm actually in Austin. I'm going to play a solo gig at Antone's tonight. And things have been really busy. But I was like, oh, man, we should have figured that one out. We should have worked that one up in the set. It's like about here, like literally here.
But that's those moments in there where I hear all the multiple influences coming at once. And not that we have to go further down that, but where did that song come from at all? Because, you know, I know you did some co-writing this, and I think we were talking about the single earlier this year was it Blacktop White Lines? Is that the name of it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like we were talking about characters, like the use of characters, not so much biographical. Is this one of those moments?
It was actually just a song title that I had written in a notebook that was just, the title was inspired by an actual, you know, a gal that I used to know, but I don't know why I wrote that down one day, just Carrie Midnight Texas Queen, like, and it just sat there for, I think, for years, you know, and I kept thinking, oh man, I gotta write that song. And then I got together with Carrie and Nick to write, and I don't remember exactly how we got onto it, but you know, usually when you're doing those things, you know everybody's like, well, I got this idea, or what if we, you know, I got this idea, and for whatever reason we jumped into it and wrote that, and it was sort of, you know, it's definitely not like a straight up diary entry or anything. It's kind of embellishing on the facts a little bit just to make it have a narrative and a flow to it. But I was really happy with how that one came out, because a lot of times when you write with other people, you know, it's the beauty of it is that you get a bunch of different people's perspective. The part that can be a little challenging if it's the song that you're going to record is that you sort of start to lose your connection to it, because it's for exactly the same reason, because lyrically it's no longer your story. But that one, somehow it kept, you know, I don't know. It just worked, you know, and writing with those guys was great. And it was one of those songs that just kind of came together pretty fast. I mean, I remember when we recorded it too, like we were the first like mix of it, or rough board mix of it. It was all just a little too clean and nice, you know? my guitar sounded a little too nice. And I that one was definitely one of the ones I was like, it sounds like, I don't know. It's just a little, it was like made me uncomfortable because it was a little too straightforward. So I went in and roughed it up a little bit, you know, after the fact.
It was that we're talking about it and you mentioning Austin and everything and Bob Schneider. You familiar with Bob?
He was Bob Schneider.
He's one of the big, he's like for a long time was like the king of Austin singer songwriters anyway.
Ah,
yeah. Worth checking out if you're not, but he's got a few songs in that style anyway. And just like, all right, this, you didn't mean to, but it just makes sense in this whole world, this Austin galaxy of music, you know, that's down there.
Yeah. I mean, I was like really kind of like pulling from memories of when I was in No Use for a Name and we would always tour through Texas and you'd play emos or whatever. And I don't know. That was always always a good stronghold for our band and just for that scene. You know, the shows were always really good down in Texas.
And we'll be right back right after this. Hey, welcome to Kyle Meredith with Consequence, where we check out some cool new things happening on the Consequence Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today I get to talk to Ann Erickson, host of our new Consequence podcast, Beyond the Boys Club.
Hey, Kyle.
And congratulations on Beyond the Boys Club. Well, what can you tell us about it?
4 years ago, I started a column published on Consequence called Beyond the Boys Club. The goal was to spotlight the women making a name for themselves in rock and metal. All these artists share their passion for music and their stories of breaking barriers as women in the music industry. This fall, we're taking the conversation further in the Beyond the Boys Club podcast. The interview series will welcome amazing female and non-binary artists from across the genre spectrum to share their stories and triumphs as they follow the beat of their own drum and shake up the scene.
That sounds awesome. I can't wait to check it out. And we should all check it out because Beyond the Boys Club arrives twice monthly on Tuesdays, wherever you get your podcasts. Great talking with you, Anne.
Thanks, Kyle.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Shiflett.
Parties. I mentioned that closing out the album. Is that an actual thing that you're dealing with? Have you?
Yeah, I don't get invited to parties. It's true. For a lot of reasons. I definitely like, you know, I mean, I was thinking about an actual dinner that had happened that week that I wrote it, where I just seemed like I was just out of step with the conversational flow of the entire table. But also it's a little bit too like, and I don't like to dwell on this too much, you know, I got sober a long time ago, and that's kind of an element of that song too, is when you sort of remove yourself from the wing ding, eventually you just stop getting invited, you know?
I do know. And something about that, just getting older too. It's,
yeah,
there's a Walkman lyric, the band, the Walkman, from their big single, The Rat. I've loved it. I loved it because I think Hamilton Lighthouser wrote this line when he was in his early 20s, which was hilarious to me because the line is, when I used to go out, I knew everyone I saw. Now I go out alone if I go out at all. It's sort of like when Joni sings Both Sides now, you know, at 19 and at, you know, 60 or 70 or whatever.
Yeah,
those lyrics.
I know that feeling well.
It is funny how, you know, the lyrics, I don't know how they speak at different points in your life or something like that. But even the heavy subject of that song, by the way, it's a fun one. And Dead and Gone too. I mean, the whole thing, I love it. But you also have these, you know, I'm hitting on these more party moments of the record, but like we've been playing Overboard in heavy rotation on FPK here in Louisville. And
really?
Yeah, that's such a good song. And then when I hear What Weighs You Down, and I think that's one of the most interesting, sweet songs, way to be sweet in a song that I think I've ever heard.
And it's about a birthday.
And it's about a birthday.
Of course it's about a birthday. How could it be about anything else?
Do you remember getting were that inspiration when it hit?
100%. Yeah. I mean, that the song was built around, I was just playing my baritone guitar, which guitar players out there will know has a very specific kind of thing to it. and just started playing that riff. And I was just, noodling around on that. And then really just built the song around it, around that. And I just thought, oh, if we could come up with a good groove for this, it'd be a nice, it could be a nice, hooky riff. But lyrically, it was inspired by my wife's birthday, and that thing of like, that we all deal with getting older and, sort of reflecting on that, I don't know. It's not always an easy thing to sort of realize, oh, my back's sore all the time and look at all this gray hair and, not to say that my wife was struggling with that, but it's more me projecting on her, just kind of say whatever, it's just a number. Look at how great our life is, that's the references to our kids and stuff like that,
It really is just one of the most sweet songs, and in such a different way than I've usually heard that.
Thank you.
Yeah. The other side of everything that you're doing, you've got this great podcast that I've been enjoying called Shredding with Shifty. And this is still sort of a new series for you, right? This comes after Walking the Floor. Is that just a business thing? Why did you make the shift?
I had done Walking the Floor for a long time. Around 10 years or so. And I just needed to do something different, really, is what it came down to. I loved doing it. It was super fun. But at a certain point, I just got tired of hearing my own voice in that context and just wanted to do something. And even just the way I just wanted to put it out a little bit differently and sort of be able to assemble a team to help out, because with Walking the Floor, it was just like a one man show. But it's been great, this first season has just like exceeded all expectations for the guests. We've had some really good ones so far, and there's a bunch that aren't out yet that are great. Like we just put out Brad Paisley, but we're about to put out Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke is the next one. Blake from Jawbreaker, Mike McCready, Mike Campbell from the Heartbreakers. There's a whole bunch, and we're honing in on the final, four or five guests that were, I was able to do like 10 or 11 interviews, before I left for tour. And then so we got to get that, the last batch done here before too long. But it's been really great, man. So it's been, I've learned a lot about guitar, which, it's a deep dive on guitar playing and everything connected to it with all the gear and all that stuff. But it's also having all these different players sort of, really get into the weeds on how they built these guitar solos and even just the songs themselves. It's been a real blast.
You get origin stories of stuff I've
done. Yeah.
Like the Rivers. I like how you're doing it, because it's not like you're just jumping straight in to the gear talk and the riff talk or whatever. Like it's set up really, really nicely.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's great. Like my hope is that you that I can talk to all these people who I'm a fan of and just, and hopefully it's different than like their normal interview that they do, where we can really spend some time just kind of casually talking about stuff. But hopefully it gets into like the type of conversation you would have with somebody backstage, or the type of conversation you would have you're both recording in the same studio and you're hanging out in the lounge, having a coffee and what are you playing on that track? There's that kind of stuff, that's sort of my hope for it.
I'm hoping it inspires some people too. I was talking with a friend of mine who I used to play with 20 years ago. And we were talking about, I'd bought a pedal that I had 20 years ago. And he goes, kids now, they don't even use pedals. It's all like, the computer.
Yeah.
Samples and preamps and all that stuff. I'm like, I didn't even, and he's like, they don't even use amps. It's like, you can't even do this kind of gear talk with this young generation. It's like, I'm totally lost on that. It's,
oh dude, you're playing through a deluxe reverb simulator. So sick.
It's like, cool.
I can't make fun of that, because I do a bit of that myself with my solo thing. And I absolutely love it. So,
it's a different world.
I get it. It really is, man. If you cannot have to load your Marshall half stack in the back of your car to get down to the gig. I'm like all for it.
Well, I appreciate all you do. I love hearing this new series. The new record is so good, Lost at Sea. Congrats on finally getting it out, man.
Yeah. We got to get another one together here soon. I saw Jaron the other day. I was like, man, it's just about that time. Let's go.
Start working. I mean, if it takes you 3 years to get one out, yeah, you probably should start.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, at least now we've got a team, you know, now we got a whole team built. So now we can, you know, hopefully the next one will be like, just get it right out.
I appreciate you taking the time as always, man. It's great to catch up with you.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Good to see you, pal.
My thanks to Chris. The new album is called Lost at Sea. Of course, thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 3 interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. Again, you can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You get the best in new music. There's bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows, let's see, had the music of Tom Waits, Sheryl Crow, Luscious Jackson, Garbage, The Cardigans, Television, The Move, Graham Parsons and Emmylou Harris, Pete Yorn, Death Cab for Cutie, Bush, Cowboy Junkies, The Dandy Warhols, Prince, The Breeders, R.E.M., Sufjan Stevens, Concrete Blonde, David Bowie, Peter Gabriel, Elliot, LCD Sound System, Queens of the Stone Age, and my interview with Andy Taylor of Duran Duran. Just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also catch me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Fall break? What the hell is that?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.